The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Monday, the 10th of February, 2020. On the podcast today, Stephen Blythe, CEO of Expediator, XPD, provides a trading update for 2019, which saw group turnover increase by 19% to £212 million. Also on the podcast, Gil Holzman, CEO of Eco Atlantic Oil and Gas, and Gil discusses their new competent persons resource report on their block offshore Guyana, which shows a 29% increase in gross prospective resources. Plus, John Quinlan, Chief Executive Officer of Iconic Labs, discusses the relaunch of Gaystar News and provides an update on financing. And as always, I have two lists for you, the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs. By the way, you can see top 10 versions of both these lists at voxmarkets.co.uk.
To receive free company updates straight to the front screen of your smartphone whenever a company you follow releases significant news, download the free Vox Markets app from voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now, Stephen Blythe, Chief Executive Officer of Expediator. XPD is ticker. Stephen, thanks for joining me.
Yes, good morning.
Now, you've released a trading update for the full year 2019, and we'll go through that in a bit. But as always, Stephen, if someone's listening right now and not familiar with the company, just explain or summarise what Expediator is all about, please.
Yes, we're an international freight management business, which is split into three main divisions. Our freight forwarding division, which we've been doing since the late 80s, so we've been around over 30 years. And we also have our logistics division, which includes the Calex franchise in Romania, highly successful part of our business. And our third division is our affinity business, where we supply fuel cards, cross-channel ferries and services to a trucking database of over 2,000 customers running 15,000 vehicles, predominantly in Eastern Europe. So it's those three main divisions.
Yeah, absolutely. And the trading update today, the strong figures here. You got group turnover up. Take us through some of the headline figures, if you could, Stephen.
Well, the turnover up 19%, which is good growth, split between 10% organic and 9% from acquisitions. So a good spread there. So we are growing the business both organically as well as by M&A activity. Our freight forwarding division, sales are up 16%. Very good growth in our Baltics areas. Our logistics and warehousing division, sales up 30%, predominantly coming from filling the warehousings in Romania and also the UK, plus the growth in our Palex part of the business, which is the one and only freight palletized network in Romania. Mm-hmm. So those are the main areas of growth.
Yeah. And it's nice to see that you said that adjusted pre-tax profit is going to be slightly above 5 million in line with guidance. And also you're generating cash there.
Yes, we are an asset-light business predominantly. So when we make money, we like to see that coming through onto the bottom line. And when we make money, we also like to pay out dividends. I've got three or four hungry ones at home who like to regularly enjoy dividends.
Yeah. So net cash at 6.9 million. And I mean, last year wasn't without its challenges, but these figures are looking very good. What now, if there are headwinds ahead of you, what are you most worried about and how are you going to deal with them, Stephen?
The main headwind, I guess, for the world at the moment is the coronavirus. But that's just a small element of the activity we have. We have a very diverse business. We're predominantly in Europe. And whilst for some companies they may see Brexit as a problem coming up, we see that as a big opportunity. We're ready for it. We've been ready for it for the last year and a half. Mm-hmm. And so it should be coming along the lines, and particularly for 2021, we think that will be a good profitable area for the business going forward.
Yeah. And for 2020, what's the market like at the moment? Are you confident for this year ahead?
Yeah, well, the activity in our pallets business in Romania continues to grow. In fact, the January figures were 19% up on the previous year. And on the back of the one network that we have in Romania, we'll be looking to expand our logistics business and warehousing business over the next few years to a very large extent. Mm-hmm. The rest of the trading we have on our forwarding divisions, we have predominantly in the past been very much focused on Eastern Europe. We now have some very, very good and exciting partnerships that we're looking to develop in Western Europe. Mm-hmm. This will be a very exciting area for us. Our affinity business, we're launching a new product, which is Affinity Factory, which is a white label product, where we earn commissions. So our customer base of 2,000 truckers, we do the calculation, they must be charging to their end users over $1 billion. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to build up and be innovative in areas where we can make money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, your growth of the last several years has been quite impressive. And do you predict that kind of growth is going to continue then, Stephen?
I would be disappointed if we don't carry on at the same level of organic growth. And indeed, I would be hoping that we will grow at a faster rate. Mm-hmm. So we've got set up a new division, which is our retail and fashion units, all focused into a new area. So we have a concentrated area effort on building up that part of our business. I started the business back in 1988, moving textiles internationally. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going back to my roots, helping to build up that area of activity. That, I think, could be quite exciting with some of the plans that we've got in play at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So right now, Stephen, I mean, where the business is right now, looking forward, are you quite optimistic and excited?
I'm always optimistic and excited, but I think with great justification at the moment, we have got some talented people. Robert Ross has joined us at the start of January, and I think it will be excellent for the business. Mm-hmm. So we've assembled a good team to grow the business substantially over the next few years. We want to get back onto doing our M&A activity. So the acquisitions that we've taken on, they should all be fully integrated in the first half of the year. And so we then would look to be pushing on to do more M&A activity. With a solid base behind us.
Yeah, marvellous stuff. Okay, well, Stephen, as always, if someone's listening right now, likes the sound of the company, the progress you're making there, but are not yet following the story, give them those three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page on Vox Markets and add you to their watch list, please.
Okay, well, we're a solid business which has been around for over 30 years. We are diverse into the different divisions, but all related to freight management. We have an enormous customer base, so we don't rely on any one customer. And we're experienced at it, we make money, and when we make money, it comes through into cash, and we do pay out dividends. So those are the primary reasons why we're doing it. Our particular sector is undergoing a lot of change with regard to digitalization and new people coming into the sector. We have invested a lot of money, that's one of the reasons our overheads went up last year, into IT. Mm-hmm. And we will be able to do a lot of M&A activity in what is a highly fragmented market.
Yeah.
So the growth opportunities will be there for the group.
Excellent stuff. Stephen, good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll be catching up in the not-too-distant future. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Gil Holzman, CEO of Eco Atlantic Oil & Gas, ECO's ticker. Gil, thanks for joining me.
Thank you very much for having me, Justin. Good morning and have a good start of the week.
Yeah, well, we tried to catch up last week. We had some technical difficulties, so we didn't manage to do it. But we've done it today, and which is always a good sign. And last week, of course, you released a new competent persons resource report for your block there in offshore Guyana. And we'll dig into that in a bit, as always. But before we do, Gil, for people who are maybe not familiar with the company there, just explain, if you could, summarize Eco Atlantic Oil & Gas.
Yes, Eco Atlantic is an oil and gas exploration company. We have five offshore blocks in two of the world's two hottest addresses, four offshore blocks in Namibia, which will be subject to a lot of exploration and drilling activity this year, as well as one offshore block in the most prolific basin around the world right now, which is Guyana, offshore, right adjacent to ExxonMobil's 8 billion barrels of light oil discoveries. So we are, as I said, we are located in the two hottest zip codes on the globe.
Excellent stuff. Yeah, and some big increase here in the numbers of prospective resources. Take us through this new CPR, if you could, Gil.
Yes, as you know, Justin, exploration is an ongoing effort, and with every well being drilled and with every new discovery being made offshore Guyana, we have the opportunity to upgrade and to review our geological models and our resources report. If you look at the company, if you just compare the company from, let's take back a year. Mm-hmm. If you look at the company, all the company's fundamentals just got much, much better. We are cashed up with $20 million that allowed us to drill at least 2 to 3 wells offshore Guyana at our 15% working interest. We have a 30% increase in the prospective resources, over 22 leads and targets offshore Guyana in Orinduik, three quarters of which are in the Cretaceous level. So almost 4 billion barrels are in Cretaceous level, which we now know for a fact that contains light sweet oil, because of there were 21 wells drilling all around us, mm-hmm. With 19 discoveries, 8 billion barrels of light oil in the Stabroek Block ahead of us and behind us in the Karapa well that was recently announced as a light oil discovery by Repsol and Tullow. One should remember also that we have two discoveries on our block, which is a very big validation of our read of the geological model. And it looks like that our heavy oil discoveries, which are still subject to additional evaluation, but it looks like that our heavy oil discoveries could be commercial and producible and commercial. We are currently studying it. So all in all, as I said, if you look at the company, just a year ago, we were at a much better share price, for example. We were we had less cash and we didn't even drill a well. So so I expect that this CPR, with the increase in potential resources, with additional discoveries being made all around us in light oil in the Cretaceous level, I expect this should be a very good sign for us. And once we have more clarity around our exact drilling plans between us and our partners Tullow and Total, I believe we're going to climb back to the levels where we were just a year ago.
Yeah, well, and you say in the RNS there that you with your partners are evaluating the drill results and defining drill targets and consider the budgets and drilling dates. And that's happening this month, this meeting, is it?
Yeah, yes, exactly. First of all, we are in continuous communication, yeah. And we do speak on a daily and weekly basis, of course, with our partners. We're a very close partnership led by Tullow Oil as a very good operator. Mm-hmm. But there are certain milestones that are official milestones that we need to reach. Last year in December, we approved a provisional budget of $80 million gross to drill over Orinduik in this coming season, in 2020. Mm-hmm. That was the budget that was approved by Tullow, Total, and ourselves to drill two wells in 2020, subject to the Karapa well results that were due and a further review of the an assessment of the geological model and the exact drilling target. Mm-hmm. This week or in the coming days, we will meet again to incorporate the Karappa, the Karappa light oil well results into our geological model and to start understanding better which of the Cretaceous targets we would like to target first. And we see few targets, as in the CPR, with over 750 million barrels in each. All of them are over 30% chance of success, which is very, very healthy. You know, usually in the exploration world, you drill anything over 20, 22% chance of success. We are looking at over 30. So this is good news for us. Mm-hmm. So we will meet the partners in the official operation committee. We will review the models. We will incorporate the previous well results, the Jeffrey and Joe discoveries, as well as the Karappa. And hopefully we can agree on drilling targets for when we can drill it as soon as practically possible, as well as on the budget, and we'll go forward.
Yeah, and that drilling, is it likely to be in this year or next year or what?
As I said, from the ECO, I cannot speak for my partners at the moment.
Yeah.
ECO is cashed up with over $20 million or $20 million that can satisfy at least 2 to 3 wells offshore Guyana at our 15% working interest. We know, and it's not a secret, that Talo is going under some kind of a strategic review and reconstruction of a reorganization of the company. Mm-hmm. And therefore, they might have other views about exact drilling dates. But we will meet, we will discuss, and hopefully we can agree on... first of all, we need to agree on the targets. Mm-hmm. Let the date aside. But let's agree on the drilling targets, and then we'll see where there is a rig availability and what is the proposed budget for this year, and then we will be smarter and we'll have more clarity. Mm-hmm. Even if we don't drill in the next 6 months, nothing has changed. So we will drill potentially towards the end of the year. So the prospects are there, the cash is there, the partners are there. The timing is, the timing is the only question at the moment, but it doesn't change fundamentally anything around the company.
Yeah, marvelous stuff. Okay, well, let's go into the reasons then, Gil. If someone's liking the sound of this but are not yet following the story, give them those three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page and add you to their watch list, please.
Yes, we have a well-defined and proven block with two oil discoveries already made in two wells that were drilled last year. We have over 4 billion barrels of potential resource in Cretaceous level, which proved to be light and sweet oil offshore Guyana, with 21 wells with 19 discoveries all around us. And we have very good partners in the form of Talo and Total in Guyana, and of course Namibia, which is going to show a very, very exciting year starting in April, with a few wells being drilled in Namibia. All in all, this is what led us, management and the executives, to buy shares in the company just recently, a month and a half ago or something, with an upgraded resource report and cashed up for drilling. I think this is going to be a very, very interesting year for us going forward.
Marvellous stuff. Gil, good to chat to you. And like I say, lots happening this year, so no doubt we'll be catching up in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is John Quinlan, Chief Executive Officer of Iconic Labs. I-C-O-N is ticker there. John, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, busy week for you. You've had two bits of news out. One on the Gaystar News relaunch, GSN, that is, of course. And, of course, there's an update on the funding. So we'll discuss that. But as always, John, if someone is listening right now to this podcast and they've not heard of Iconic Labs, can you just explain the business, please?
Yes, sure. So Iconic Labs is a media and tech company. We focus on content and building brands, creating advertising for our clients.
Excellent stuff. Okay, well, let's dig into the GSN relaunch and tickets, because you haven't had that for long. You bought it a while back, but you've changed it around. What have you done? What's happening with it there, John?
Yeah, no, so it's been a bit of work, but it's been good. Yeah. So I think that we bought it in September for $33,000, so, which we thought was a great deal. So we sort of snapped it up, knowing that it needed work, but that it had potential. So... last week we've just done the relaunch of the website, so it's been completely rebranded. Like, for example, it was called Gaystar News, now it's just GSN. Mm-hmm. We think that's a better brand that captures captures the essence of what it's about, but at the same time is more inclusive, can work with more brands, but also keeps the old community. And I think the big piece of good news is that those people have kept coming to the site. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've got over 1 million people on the site, which, to be honest, considering the site's been effectively not in use for a few months, is actually pretty impressive. So now we've got over 1 million people on the site. The ads are now on the site, so it's making money. So yeah, we're pretty happy with that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, so it's, I mean, you bought it there. It's come with, you know, obviously a good following. And even on Facebook, it's got, 800,000 followers. And it came with revenue as well, is that right?
So it comes with the potential to get revenue. I think last year it did over 500,000. Mm-hmm. And at that point, you know, they didn't actually have advertising on the site. So, you know, this sort of speaks to what we think, where we can add value. Mm-hmm. You know, add the things that we know, like in this example, the programmatic side, and then, you know, use something like the Facebook page, which I think is one of the biggest LGBT communities on Facebook. Mm-hmm. So there's big potential there to do branded content and, you know, sell the more sort of higher value contracts. Yes. And we're speaking to a few people at the moment about doing that. But, you know, we've been, you know, it's been really well received from our point of view. Yeah. We're getting a lot of inbound leads. Mm-hmm. So it's very, 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 very good.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, that's, you know, like I said, it's a big following, but also as far as advertising concerned, I mean, you know, it's quite targeted, isn't it? You know?
Yeah. I mean, that's how things work. In the sort of digital media space, the more targeted, the better, the more niche, the better. Mm-hmm. So people want to see what they're advertising to. And particularly if you've got a hard to reach community, you can obviously, you know, ask for more money. Simple as that.
Yeah.
So, we're pretty happy with that, and you know, the brand has always been very authentic to its audience. Mm-hmm. And we feel we've kept that, but obviously we want to expand it, and that means expanding it commercially as well. So yeah, we're right at the start of it, but it's started and it's looking really good.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, and an update on the funding. So take us through what's in place at the moment, and going forward, how's that going to change?
Yeah, sure. So we had, it's in the context of, you know, now we've got GSN working, and we've got the we've announced our last our first contract recently as well. We think that really the business is sort of like a bit undervalued, to be honest with you, and it's frustrations for shareholders, frustrations for us, and I think it's down to the capital structure of the business. So what we're trying to do is get ourselves a plan to get us to a clean balance sheet. Because we think once we do that, we'll be sort of properly valued for what we've actually got here. So, you know, we've had sort of a funding relationship with a hedge fund, which we inherited from the wide sales days when we weren't involved. And we've been trying to sort of work a position where we can get sort of, you know, conventionally funded and work on the company just by, you know, creating net free cash flow. And we needed to do something about this overhang that was there. So we announced in August that we were going to settle it through the issuance of shares, and that's still the case upon the issuance of a prospectus. Mm-hmm. The hedge fund have agreed, after a bit of tough negotiation, to take a 30% reduction in their make whole amount. And then, you know, our view is that we can't do this all in one step, get to conventional funding, I mean. So what they have also agreed is to give us a tranche facility that will flow through the market each month, and that will fund our growth and our working capital. So until we're ready to get to a situation where institutional funders and other people will fund it, that's the only solution that we've been able to sort of find. We did speak with institutional shareholders, and that was the advice that we got. So, you know, it's really important, I think, that we, you know, some of those guys were very clear in what their advice was. So we've taken that on board, and I think we're pretty happy with where we're going to go to from here.
Yeah. And as far as, like you say, this has got in the way of you sort of growing the business, but now you feel like this will help you grow that business?
Yeah, look, I think, you know, the underlying business is got some traction now and growing. So, you know, it's very important that we keep that up. And, you know, I've said previously that I think there's going to be you know, we're busy. We're very busy. So I think there's going to be plenty of like news flow in the future. But we need to do that. You know, the website for Iconic only went live in November. So we're still like fairly early in that process. But, you know, we've got some really good stuff in the pipeline. Like, for example, I think we've shown with the GSN acquisition, if we do an acquisition, there's a real like strategic reason for doing it. And we'll get it for a good price, and then we'll create the upside as well. I think there's a big potential there. And we announced, would have been a good few months ago, that we'd agreed heads of terms with Social Alchemist, which is an agency, but we haven't been able to complete on that. So, you know, with the announcement here, and the clarity around the funding and a little bit more on working capital and growth capital, we'll be able to complete on that, for example. That'll be one thing we're looking to do. So, progress being made. And I think that, you know, clarity on the funding was needed for everyone's sake, to be honest with you.
Yeah. So you feel genuinely this is a step in the right direction?
Yeah, I think so. I absolutely. And I think, you know, we've never been more confident in the underlying business. So, we just think that this is the way to get us to the clean balance sheet. And then I think everything will start being valued actually how it actually is, personally.
Yeah. Okay. All right, John. Well, as always, if someone is liking the sound of the progress you're making here, but are not yet following the story, then please give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page on Vox Markets and add you to their watch list, please.
Okay. So number one is, look, we've just done our first contract, and you know the organic revenues are growing. Number two is the example of the relaunch of GSN shows that, you know, when we do an acquisition and you grow the capital value of the company, we can get it for a good price and turn it around and add some value. And then number three is, we have got a plan here to get to a clean balance sheet. And I think after we've done that everything else will fall into place.
Marvellous stuff. John, good to chat to you. And like you said, lots of news flow coming, so no doubt we'll be chatting in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five. Eurasia Mining, up 13.8% to 7.8 pence. At four, Audio Boom Group, up 11.24% at 247.5. At three, NMC Health, up 9% to 763. At two, Tomco Energy, up 63.33% to 1.225 pence. And number one most followed company is Katoro Gold, up 55.1% to 3.8 pence. All right, top five most liked RNSs are as follows. At five, Expediator. Of course, trading update. I talked about it with Stephen on the podcast today. At four, Thor Mining, sale of interest in Hawkstone Mining. At three, Jangada Mines, final $1 million received from Valor. At two, Vesarian, response to share price movement. And at one, Brave Bison launches Slick on Snapchat to 40 million viewers. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.